Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
So last night, the question when it comes to the Portland Diamond Project and the Major League Baseball to Portland effort got a little bit of clarity as the list of the charter investors went public last night, and thought it was really interesting. The amount of traffic it was getting on Oregon Live was insane. So there's a lot of interest and a lot of curiosity about it. One of the things that I was most surprised by with the list was just who was on the list. It wasn't what I expected. It was very down home. It was very Oregon based. It was like the people walked right out of a Made in Oregon store. And you heard from Harvey Platt, the retired CEO of Platt Electric, earlier in the show. I now have in studio with me Marcus Harvey, who is the CEO and founder of Portland Gear. He's wearing his MLB to PDX Portland Gear sweatshirt.
Of course.
How are you?
Good. Appreciate you having me in. It's a fun day.
You're 28 years old. You're the baby in the investor group.
I like that.
Yeah. You're the young guy.
Yeah, that's a fun title, I guess.
I wouldn't go baby. I would just say you're the youthful guy.
Sure.
You're at a different point in your life than some of these other people. Harvey's retired. He came on earlier. You're 28. You're seemingly just your trajectory is on the way up with this great company. Let's start with Portland Gear. How did you get started? What is Portland Gear? How'd you get started with it?
Totally. So I was a local kid here, brainwashed Nike my entire life. My parents went to U of O. My sister went to U of O. So I was a duck, tried and true. I was a Nike. I was a product guy. I was a Blazer fan. So that kind of amalgamation of things was who Marcus was through many years. So when I went to U of O, I ended up getting a degree in digital arts and business. So graphic design and stuff, but I was never very good at art. My art was more of the business and how that connected with it. So all my projects were printing t-shirts and selling stuff or making flyers and hosting events and building community. And so when I moved back to Portland in 2012, I was doing that. I had a friend named Wookie and we were just doing screen printing and making stuff for brands. Get lucky and meet Wesley Matthews, get lucky and meet CJ McCollum and start doing stuff for them. And at that time, Instagram's getting big. So my Instagram is just Portland. Started that about 6 years ago before all of this.
Yeah.
And just as a way to post cool things with the city, bridge pictures, stuff, that speeds up and gets 30, 40, 50, 60,000 followers. This is in 2014. And so sitting there, experience with branding, screen printing, a huge following of people that love Portland. Printed like 30 Portland Gear shirts, didn't expect anyone to buy them, put up a website, posted one picture on that Portland page, and the first day it did $5,000 in sales, which was crazy because I wasn't making any money for the last 6 years selling stuff. And pretty much that day I went full-time on Portland Gear and we started doing pop-ups around town in an old Volkswagen and got our store. Eli, my best friend, joined me. And so we run a small team. There's just six or seven of us doing, you know, designing, ordering, manufacturing, shipping, working the store, doing all the events, collaborations, and you know, we do a lot through social media. We do a lot with different organizations and nonprofits in town. And, you know, I feel very fortunate that we came up with a cool little logo that hadn't existed. And it's funny because the inspiration for the logo was actually that we don't have a baseball team.
Yeah.
So for years it was like, you know, the Dodgers logo is LA and the Yankees logo is New York. And we didn't have that. We had Blazers Timbers, but it didn't quite like embody the city the way those logos did. So my inspiration for it was that we didn't have a baseball team. So it's kind of funny to be here.
Yeah, you never could have imagined that. That was it. And for people who don't know, he's got the baseball cap on. You could see the baseball cap if you go to portlandgear.com. You can actually see the logo for Portland Gear there. It is that big block P with the state of Oregon as the cutout in the middle. What style font is that, by the way? What's the font?
It's a bit custom. I kind of worked it up, but it's old school athletic. Pretty much all of our stuff is like that. Yeah.
My 16-year-old loves your stuff. I mean, you and I met the first time a couple Christmases ago because she wanted a sweatshirt that was out of stock. Mm. I email the customer service. I go, hey, what is this going to be in stock? Marcus comes right back with, hey, I am the founder of the company. I actually found one in the warehouse. Like, that's how we met each other for the first time. I never thought you would be part of this group. And I see it rolled out, and I'm like, this is a good story.
Appreciate it.
How do you get involved? Like, what is the, take us through the arc of, you know, because Harvey Platt says they called him. They said you were involved in the project last time. Do you want to be involved this time? You're different.
Oh, yeah. Mine was because of you. It was an article that you posted in October of 2017. Okay. Yeah, 2017. It was the, you know, Portland needs to be more than Portlandia. Is MLB to Portland a real thing? And I remember reading that article and came across it somehow. And I was like, hold up. Wait. Baseball to Portland, like Major League, this is something. And you dropped a couple names in it, and I reached out to you, so to reverse the roles, I reached out to you, and I said, hey, this Mike Barrett guy, I obviously knew who he was, Blazer fan for life, and you probably replied right back to me and gave him gave me his information.
Yeah, I just connected you guys. Yeah, that was it. And the next thing I know, you're on the charter list.
Well, there's a lot of steps, in between there. You know, it was a lot of me being the annoying little brother just pestering, being like, hey, Mike, what's going on? Hey, Mike, can I help? Hey, Mike, can I print a t-shirt? Hey, Mike, what's going on? So this was pretty much all of 2017 and into 2018. And, you know, I just kind of threw it out there. I've kind of learned through business and stuff that, you know, you don't get anything unless you just put it out there. And I don't like regretting things. So I was like, what's the worst case scenario if I just email them and say, hey, are you looking for investors? And I just read that article about LAFC that had brought on lots of minority investors because they were known people in the city and they had connections. And I was like, I just wonder if PDP would take that approach. So just cold emailed Mike and just said, hey, Mike, I know this is out of left field. I said, pun intended. Is there a chance you're bringing on small, because I'm small business, like I don't have the millions and millions and millions. Is there a chance you're bringing on small local investors and could I be involved? And kind of the conversation just went from there. And over the next couple months, I just tried to earn my way in with making product and helping out with events and posting stuff on Portland and Portland gear. And it just kind of happened really organically.
Marcus Harvey's with us, CEO and founder of Portland Gear. You can go to portlandgear.com to see the baseball to Portland stuff and his company. All right. So there is a parallel here. You built a company, like you stumbled onto something. I don't say stumbled because that sounds accidental, but I don't think it's an accident that you've been successful in your business.
Appreciate it.
I think you've got talent. I think you know what you're good at, which most, you have great self-awareness. I can already tell that. And you found what you're good at, you got in that lane, and you just put your head down and went. Mm-hmm. It feels to me like this Diamond Project thing has a lot, there's some similarities there, where like, you know, could baseball be a thing, has now evolved to a group that has $1.3 billion in commitments and a group of investors, including yourself, that are in. That conversation that you have to have, because you were recently married, right, when this happened?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay, that's a different conversation. Brand new, married. Hey, honey. How does that go?
I mean, my wife is incredibly supportive. So I used to pray that I'd kind of have someone with me for this whole journey. And I actually met my wife the week I started Portland Gear. I went to her birthday through mutual friends. And so she's been with me from before anything, you know, like when I printed 20 shirts, I didn't know if they sell. And so she's just been incredibly supportive through the whole process of everything. And to her, she's more of a fan of me than she is of Portland Gear. She loves Portland Gear and loves people and stuff. But I think I can kind of convince her on if something's really important to me. And so this was just a, hey, honey, when again in my life am I going to have the ability to get in on something like this, leave a legacy for us, for kids, for future generations in Portland, to build community, which I'm all about, to be in sport, like, I mean, just a kid dreaming of owning a sports team. And that just doesn't become a reality. You got to have, especially now, billions and billions of dollars. And I'd like to think that throughout the duration of my life, I'll see some success, but I don't anticipate in the billions. So seeing this opportunity come and just being willing to risk whatever and talking with the team about it at Portland Gear and saying, hey, this is something that I think could change our trajectory and get us involved with this. And it was just, no, I think it was top down. It was from the very first conversation I ever had with Mike, the very first conversation with Craig. It's just, it's going to happen. And so in telling Noelle that, she believes it. And in me telling my team that, they believe it. So there's never been a moment when we're like, oh, it's about the money or what's the return or what happens if it doesn't. It's just like, it's going to happen. And what I love is that we're willing to be part of that and do all the work to make sure that it does too. I want to do the events. I want to help with the pop-up shops. I want to contribute and make t-shirts. I want to help get petitions signed. I want to drive the van to New York and show the commissioner the boards that we've collected with singing. Like, I want to be part of all of that. And so it's far from a financial decision. It was I've got the energy, I've got some buzz, I've got lots of people that want to be part of this, and if I can get to that millennial and that younger consumer, I'm here all day to do that.
Marcus Harvey with us, he's the CEO and founder of Portland Gear. The conversations that I have about Major League Baseball to Portland have changed in like the last year, or even the last 12 months, even the last 6 months. the very first time I met with Mike Barrett, I could tell he was expecting me to roll my eyes and go, what are you doing? This is a hoax. This is a pipe dream. Mm-hmm. And now the conversations are much different as the group has $1.3 billion in commitments, as the stadium site, the Terminal 2 site, which I was down there today, becomes a reality. How have the conversations changed for you in that time?
Yeah, you know, when I first talked to Mike, it's just funny because I went back and reread those emails before coming in and stuff, and it's like his confidence hasn't changed to me. So the realities of it have changed, but like I still feel like it's going to happen the exact same percentage as I felt on those first days. So, you know, seeing it now public and seeing the Russell event this last summer and seeing, you know, we're helping with the clubhouse pop-up shop and seeing just how many people come in there every day and talk and sign the wall and want to be part of the petition and seeing how often you talk about it and media outlets picking it up. Like, it is surreal in a way to see how fast that momentum has just kind of kept going. I've learned to not be surprised by anything anymore. Like, when we helped open the clubhouse PDP pop-up shop, we didn't know how many people would come. Probably 1,000 people that day and lines out the door. And I've just learned, especially with this project, and I've learned a little bit through the Portland Gear stuff, that this community is so supportive. It's ripe for another sports team. People just want to be part of something. They want to be part of something in the early days, too. That's incredibly important to people in Portland. They love supporting the underdogs and the little guys and the mom and pop shops and the makers. And it feels like that type of movement in a way where it's like, hey, I can be part of PDP in this movement in 2018 and 2019. Like, I can talk about that in 10 years and say, oh, I was there from the beginning. Oh, you think you're a baseball fan? I was there when it was just an idea, you know? And it's like, that's just an amazing time for us to be involved in it. And there was just no way I couldn't figure out a way to weasel into this. It was too important.
That Portland Gear store, that's the one at 627 Southwest 19th Avenue?
Right, by Providence Park where the Timbers play.
And that, is that open like 9 to 5 or is that?
11 to 7.
11 to
every
7.
Every day, yep. We're there.
There you go. And
around the corner from that, so in the same building around the corner is our big office, and the front of it right now is the Portland Diamond Project pop-up shop. So we've been helping with them. It's this amazing experiential store. You come in, you sign the wall, you take a picture with this beautiful turf wall. That's open 12 to 7 Wednesday through Sunday. So come on by, pick up the PDP hat or the MLB shirt, sign the wall, we'll get an email address that we're going to send to the commissioner. So it's in the same building. So if you come visit us, make sure you visit that one. We're there.
I asked Harvey Platt about the other investors. He said he really hadn't met with the group. I know that you guys held an event in December. Were you in that room with the other investors?
Yes.
What was that like?
It was cool. It was cool because it was kind of it felt very real at that point. I talked to Mike very often.
Yeah.
But it was kind of the first time that everyone was there and they brought their wives or their spouses. And you know, for me to have Noelle get to hear from Mike and Craig the way I get to hear from them, and for me to not have to parlay that to her, she just walked away blown away. And I'm like, now you get it. And I think that was the general consensus in that room was like, wow, you know, we hear it in parts and we've heard it from everyone, but this was amazing. And everyone left that night inspired and motivated. And that was an awesome night.
Were there other people who weren't part of the group that were in the room?
Not sure.
I heard Pat Casey made an appearance, maybe.
I'm not sure if he was there. I don't know.
It's really interesting to me because I don't think there's a lot of ego in that group either, because I look at the list and I'm like, there's a lot of people that I didn't know about. And then I research them and I'm like, these are all successful people in their own lane. Did you get that feel in the room that there was a lot of humility in the room?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was just fun to be there. And, you know, everyone kind of did introductions and you're like, I know exactly what you do. And I know exactly what you do. And Portland, I know exactly what that is. And so that was pretty cool just to feel that. But yeah, I've never once sensed an ego at all. And again, I think that's a top-down thing. I think they're working hard and we all see that and we want to work hard too. And no one's coming in expecting or demanding or being nothing. We're just trying to work.
In the stadium, I asked Harvey this question, but if we're at a game 5 years from now, where are we sitting in the stadium? Where's the seat? Where do you want to sit? Do you know?
No. Just in there. I've got season tickets with the Blazers. I'm in the 300 level.
Yeah.
I love it up there. The random occurrence I get to sit in the 100 level is just as fun.
Yeah.
I want to be all over this park. It doesn't matter. I don't need a seat with a stamp.
There.
No,
you
just got to be there.
Your kid in the stadium.
Yeah.
Probably multiple kids at that point. And
no one would like to hear that. Yeah.
There you go, and you're in. Really, really impressed with you and your product. And I encourage people to support Portland Gear.
Thank you, John.
I know my 16-year-old is a huge fan. She steals all the stuff. I got some MLB to PDX stuff, and it's been stolen from me. But I appreciate you coming in and sharing kind of your vision and your excitement. 28-year-old Marcus Harvey, CEO and founder of Portland Gear. Thank you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Leave it right here. This show is loaded up. Joey Harrington still ahead. Sabrina Ionescu still ahead. CJ McCollum still ahead. I'm literally, that could be a show by itself. We've already talked to Harvey Platt, who, if you're in business, if you're somebody just starting a business, listen to that podcast. You're getting a lot of life experience. You're getting a lot of savvy wisdom from a guy who he and his family have built a successful company. Also, we talked to Marcus Harvey, who's on the other end of the spectrum, 28-year-old CEO and founder of Portland Gear, was on the show. I have such tremendous respect for both of those people and for their passion and for their vision with what they're trying to do in bring a Major League Baseball team to Portland. I have to caution myself, though. I love baseball. I grew up in a baseball family. I am a sports columnist. I would like to say I don't have a dog in the fight. People always say stuff like that, especially when they do have a dog in the fight. But I kind of feel like I do have several dogs in the fight. I have kids. I have a family. I'm a sports guy. I make my livelihood in sports. It would behoove me to have another major league team here to have one more thing to talk about. It would be good for the economy. I'm big on the economy. It would be great for the profile of the city of Portland. These are all things that benefit me directly. So I have to caution myself, like on a day like today, and another staffer here at the radio show popped his head in, and he's a baseball fan. He's like, great show today. And I said, you know, I kind of have to worry. I have to wonder if I'm doing a show for myself today by having on guests, talking to the people I want to talk about. I don't know. Are you as into this as me? Are you as interested in this as I am? All things to talk about. Yesterday, we did a kind of a silly segment where we talked about, you know, things that you could tell your kid about that your kid would not understand because of the age difference. And people suggested the 8-track tape and disc players, like real disc players. Remember the movie discs that were laser disc? Big old disc. People talked about business signals and 411, dialing 411. Alabama Adriana doesn't know how to dial 411. She doesn't know what it is. And I'm not picking on her. But I left yesterday's show feeling like that was entertaining. That was light. That was funny. A couple days ago, I did a segment of radio where I was talking about how fast my wife and I eat. I can't tell you how many people told me later. They were like, I was cracking up. That was funny. That was memorable. Never mind that I'm doing a sports show. It was the 5 minutes I talked about eating insanely fast that stuck with people, and I'm glad that we could entertain you in that 5 minutes. Or yesterday, the 45 minutes we spent talking about all these technological advances that have made things like the party line, or the antenna on your roof, or what? The rotary phone. Obsolete. Entertaining stuff. That was for you. Is this baseball stuff for you too? Do you geek out on it? Because I thought we had a really intelligent discussion at about, I think it was at about 1 o'clock on this show, about 40 minutes ago. It was spurred by Mike, who said, it's too crowded here. I don't want a stadium here, da, da, da. And people came back with talking about the profile of the city. I think that's really intelligent discussion that we should have, regardless of baseball or not. To me, I was like, that's really good discussion about this city. What does this city want to be? What is this city? What are the biggest problems facing Portland? I think the biggest problems that face Portland are a couple of philosophical problems and then a couple of real problems that worry me on a daily basis. Philosophically, I think that Portland dreams small. It makes small plans all the time. It worries me. From a political standpoint, I am concerned that people here don't dream big enough. And I don't know if it's that you've been here so long, at some point you get beat down, you go, nothing ever happens here. Nobody ever, nobody's successful here. Too much politics. And I don't know if that's it, or if maybe the kind of people who rattle around the country and end up landing in Portland, they're not big city people. Like, right? If you're somebody who wants to build the biggest skyscraper in the world, you're not moving to Portland. If you're somebody who wants to build the biggest skyscraper in the country or the world, you're moving to New York City or Chicago. If you're somebody who wants to make a movie that's going to change lives, you're going to L.A., you're going to Southern California. So I wonder if by virtue of the fact of where we are located geographically, sort of off in the corner of the map, if the reason why things are, we get a resistance to dreaming big is that it's just by virtue of the people who end up here. We're kind of in middle management, if you think about it, as a city. We're not, we haven't yet declared we want to be the executive. And I think this is one of those moments where some people in our city are saying, hold on, we want to lead the conversation here. We don't want to be middle management. And there are some people uncomfortable with that. So I think that's one philosophical issue that holds us back. Another is the vocal minority, I think, in this region, for whatever reason. Maybe, you know, I've got bigger problems to worry about than the vocal minority, and you do too. But the vocal minority tends to drive and lead the discussion often. I find that. It's puzzling to me how much we listen to the voices, the naysayers, who really are in the minority. And I'm talking about, like, on simple issues such as education and other things, we tend to listen to the loud voices for some reason, and I don't know why that is. We get rabbit ears. Those are philosophical things, though. But here are the real problems that I see. I do think we have an infrastructure problem, especially with traffic and transportation in the downtown Portland, all the way extending to the suburbs. I mean, have you been on Highway 217? Have you been on 26? Have you been on, have you tried to go I-5 north at like 4 or 5, 6 o'clock, 205? Same problem. We all have the same problem. No matter where you are, I mean, it's traffic, traffic, traffic. So I agree with all that. So we have to look for solutions there. And I think by and large, those solutions still belong to the cities that are involved in it. I mean, that's going to take public dollars. I know we're all resistant to taxes. And I am too. Like, hey, I don't want to give away more money. I don't want to do that. But at the end of the day, I think if we want to live in a better place, I think we're going to have to make some investment in those things. And look, if you can build a stadium and create revenue, if a stadium could be built that included a tax in the ticket that was geared or earmarked specifically towards transportation or specifically towards education, guess what? Only people who are going to the game are paying for those things. And maybe they'll be okay with it because they're going to a game. So could a stadium solve problems? Let's start thinking like that. I think homelessness is another big problem. Huge problem. And really, homelessness is rooted in two things. It's either the cost of living, rising rent, a shortage of inventory of affordable housing, or mental illness. And sometimes it's and mental illness. And I worry about, are we doing a good enough job taking care of the people who can't afford to live in, you know, nicer places? And frankly, sometimes they just can't afford to live. Because I look at countries like China. I was in Beijing for the Olympics, and it struck me that young people in China weren't making it. They were living 4 or 5 to an apartment in Beijing, and they were like kind of sleeping in shifts almost. I said, what do you do? They said, well, we share an apartment. It's only got 3 bedrooms, but there's 6 of us. And what we do are we work nights, they work days. And I'm like, that's no way to live. I don't want to end up like that as a community, as a city. That's no way to live. So I do think those are things, those are issues. But if you could use a stadium, if you could take a baseball stadium, a professional stadium, even if you could get the Blazers and Timbers involved in this with a citywide tax on tickets that went towards what? Affordable housing, transportation, programs for homelessness and people who are having a hard time with mental illness. Maybe it solves a problem. Maybe there's an education tax that needs to be added to tickets. I don't know. I'm not a politician. I don't want to be a politician. But I won't stop dreaming big. Leave it.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.